Thank you for helping us make Budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 4 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support, and we're looking forward to partnering with you again in 2012. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The issue of life transcends anybody's petty politics. This goes to the very heart of who we are as a country.
What I see about Governor Romney is that he says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's raised from the dead, and, you know, he's my Savior. I see him as being a believer in Christ like me.
There's an Occupy Faith in Boston, there's an Occupy Faith in Oakland, there's an Occupy Faith in Washington, D.C., there's an Occupy Faith in Chicago. And there are more and more of these groups that are primarily faith leaders.
Homeschool families, love issues, etc. We have issues.
I don't know if it is being tone deaf to the consciences of religious people, especially the nation's many Roman Catholics who find birth control morally objectionable. I don't know if it's being tone deaf or if it's being insistent that everything regarding so-called reproductive health fall under health insurance. I don't know what it is, but I am baffled by the fact that the White House has decided to keep a rule requiring most employer health care insurance to cover birth control over against the objections of the many Roman Catholics and other religious institutions that find it morally objectionable. I'm just baffled by the fact that insistence there. Of course, they say that they've given everybody an extra year to comply with this requirement. We're going to be talking about that in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome on this Wednesday afternoon, the 25th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest for the first few minutes. Right after that, we'll be talking with Chris Roseborough. He had a run-in with a security guard at the Elephant in the Room Conference 2. He tried to attend it. It's a thing for religious leaders to air all their very different opinions, and he was told that if he entered the conference or stayed on the premises, he would be arrested for trespassing. Even though he paid his fee, I guess he just had to go home. We're going to talk about the intolerance of seeker-driven leaders with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. And then Marcia Montenegro will join us to answer the question whether or not feng shui is just good fashion sense, good decorating sense, or something a little more. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment on feng shui for Marcia Montenegro in about 45 minutes at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
The first line in the Wall Street Journal says, under the headline, White House Keeps Rule on Birth Control, the Obama administration on Friday moved ahead with plans to require most health care insurance to cover birth control without co-payments, but gave religious employers an extra year to make the change. Will another year make a difference for religious institutions who are objecting to this requirement?
Well, whoop-de-doo, isn't that decent of them to give them an extra year to change their position that they've held for 2,000 years? I mean, that's not only is it ridiculous, it's insulting. I mean, honestly, after all the Catholic Church has been through over contraception, to think that Mr. Obama is going to change their position in a year's time is ridiculous, honestly. So, no, it's not going to make any difference.
So, how is it that birth control has become part of kind of the healthcare mandate?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned no copays, no deductibles, no nothing. Free birth control is really what we're talking about here. So if you think about oral contraceptives, for example, which is the one everybody cares about, it's the one that's actually kind of expensive, oral contraception gives a medication to a healthy woman to prevent the healthy functioning of a normal part of her body. Now, how that counts as healthcare at all, I don't know, right? I mean, it's and there are health hazards associated with oral contraception. So it's mysterious from that aspect altogether. The way you have to see it, Todd, is that contraception is part of the brave new world that this group of people is trying to create on us. They have sold it under the various guises of freedom and choice and liberty and all those kinds of things, equality for women. They've sold it under a variety of names. But the truth is that what they're trying to do is to create a society in which sex and conception are radically separated from one another. They're trying to create a society, a whole society, where sex is a sterile activity. That is irrational. That is impossible. And that is why the government has to be involved in it, because it cannot come about without the application of large doses of force. And that's what you're seeing here, is the heavy hand of the state making sure that there is no dissent from the new orthodoxy, that sex is a sterile recreational activity, and anybody who disagrees needs to get in line. And if you have quirky lifestyle preferences and want to have babies, you're on your own. That's the world they're bringing into being here, Todd. And that's what's so ominous about this.
Where is this headed? Because let's talk about the Roman Catholic context here. We're talking about religious employers on a grand scale here.
Yes.
And at the end of this year, for the religious employers to comply, what do you suspect the Roman Catholics will do? Are they just going to get out of the business?
The Roman Catholic Church is going to stop employing anyone? They're going to shut down every operation they have in this country. They're going to shut down all of their church, all of their schools, all of their churches. Religious employer, that means the secretary at your local parish. Okay, the church itself is covered by this. The church is covered, the schools covered, the hospitals are covered, the social service agencies are covered. Are you seriously telling me that the whole Catholic social service infrastructure and religious and educational infrastructure, that's all going to shut down? They're not going to shut down. Obama's going to have to go after them. You know, I mean, you know, they're not going to sit quietly and say, oh, yeah, gee, sorry, we're out of business. No, they will not be able to be in business. And I also don't think that they're going to go along quietly with this thing. I mean, he set himself up for a very serious showdown here. The other thing that's kind of interesting about it is that there were a lot of liberal Catholics who voted for Obama. And this is what's really, I think, strange about this. A lot, if it weren't for liberal Catholics, Obama would not be president. Okay, let's be clear about that. As a Roman Catholic, I will take responsibility for the fact that my co-religionists voted this guy into office. So those people who put themselves on the line to vote for Obama when they really shouldn't have, they really should have known this kind of stuff was coming. Those are the people he's left hanging out to dry. The people who said, oh, Catholics can vote for him in good conscience, it'll all be good. No, some of those people are turning around and saying, hey, wait a minute, you threw us under the bus. We can't be party to this. So I don't quite understand why he thinks he can get away with this. But it's clear that Catholics don't matter to him, or he thinks that Catholics are going to completely fold on it, and that the same people who followed him last time are going to continue to follow him. So I don't know what he and his advisors are thinking. I think what they're thinking is that this is the opportune moment to continue the march through the cultural institutions of the society of making them conform to the brave new world that he's got in mind.
I understand that you were recently in Washington State. What were you doing there, Jen?
Well, yes, I was up in Olympia just Monday, actually, which is why I couldn't do my regular slot on Tuesday here with you guys. Yes, the state legislature in Olympia is voting on whether to redefine marriage, and they've got put forth in the House. The prime sponsors were in the House, and it was just announced that they've got the votes in the Senate as well. So it looks like they'll probably vote on it. So I was up there testifying against that move, obviously against that, and trying to rally the troops on our side about that, because I think the bottom line will be that once the legislature passes that, that there's going to end up being a ballot initiative about it, that the people are going to bring that forth and put it on the ballot and try to put a stop to it. So in addition to testifying in front of the legislature, which is really kind of political theater, probably doesn't change anybody's mind, I was also there talking to our people, right, the people who are going to make a difference, the people who are going to be involved in the petition drive and the campaign and all of that kind of stuff, trying to rally the troops and inspire people to carry on this good fight.
Political theater as it may be, with about a minute, summarize your testimony before the Washington State Senate.
Well, basically, I said that I'm here today to hold you guys accountable for what you're about to do, because previous generations of social experimenters have caused unimaginable misery to millions of people, and those particular people implemented policies that brought about today's 50% divorce rate, 40% out of wedlock childbearing rate. None of those people has ever been held accountable, but I'm going to hold you accountable for what you guys are doing. And by the way, the testimony I gave in Washington State is essentially what I said in Rhode Island a year ago, and that testimony is available on CD at the Ruth Institute website. We've got a new CD called Defending Marriage with Dr. J, and on that CD you'll find pretty much what I said the other day in Washington State, what I said in Minnesota last May, and then another talk I have. And you can also download the text for free. And the texts are nice because they're completely footnoted, and it's got all the information about why I know what I'm talking about. So I would encourage everybody to go look that up.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Check out the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute. You'll find a link at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you again.
You're welcome.
When we come back, it's a story to tell, and we'll get Chris Roseborough from Fighting for the Faith's story about a recent trip he took into Illinois. He was just going to attend a conference, I think the second of its kind, called The Elephant in the Room, a conference of various kind of church leaders, people who are considered cutting edge, people who are considered the leading lights of the church at this particular moment. And he was told he had to leave or be charged with trespassing even before he made it into the conference itself. We'll get his story and talk about the intolerance of seeker-driven leaders after this.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.